Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio Live. It's Election Day, brought to you by me today, in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong, about, I hope, not being a man, but in Jesus Christ, about not ending in prayer, but also moving to action. And the difference between the gospel of salvation and the gospel of the kingdom, Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes. But its leaves will be green and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. Now, take a moment, text your friends, tune into the radio show right now. We have some inside news coming to us from several sources that I want to share to you tonight. Now, the mainstream, I'm not even calling that anymore. The fake news media has attempted to silence, downplay, and now they're doing some other things that really can only be categorized as information and psychological warfare. So, if you want the real news, have your friends and family tune in. I'm also going to be live on Facebook tonight from Patriot headquarters, where we are going to be talking about the results that are very clearly coming to fruition right now, and I'm going to get to that here in a bit. Our guest on the show is our regular election analysis consultant, Matt Monroe. He's going to come on here in about 20 minutes. So tell your friends and family, tune in. Also, be watching my Facebook page. We're going to be doing a live report later, actually maybe several live reports later in the evening from Patriot headquarters about what's going on in the country. And you want to hear the real news, what's really happening. Okay. We are going to get to that here in a second, but first, I have a special Bible verse that the Lord put on my heart. Psalm 25, 20, verse 5. Psalm 20, verse 5. May we shout for joy over your victory, and in the name of God, may we set up banners. And then a little bit later, they will collapse and fall, speaking of our enemies. And we will rise and stand firm. Grant victory, O Yahweh. Let the King answer us when we call. And it looks like God is answering our prayers. Wow. All the prayer and fasting and just seeking the Lord, He is answering our call tonight. It's incredible. I'm going to talk about that here in a second. But first, on the international front, your daily intelligence briefing coming to us from Debka file. Two killed, five wounded in Quebec by a man with a sword. Okay, what else is going on? I'm glad you asked, because we're going to talk about these together. It's important to talk about these incidents together. France, terror attacks here recently. Now, the Islamic State has claimed responsibility for the terror attacks yesterday in Vienna, Austria. It says, quote, the death and injury of 30 crusaders. See, they're talking this way, right? Now, there were over several people killed in Austria. But why did they pick Austria? Why did they pick France? If you don't know Islamic history and you don't know what Recep Erdogan is doing in Turkey with the Muslim Brotherhood, which he is in operational control of right now, and his calls against Europe, you have no clue really what's behind this. Here's the history. 732, Tours, France. Charles Martel and the French army destroyed the Muslim invading army and kicked them essentially out of France, which led to hundreds of years of the Spanish finally kicking the Islamic armies out of Spain. Which, oh, by the way, part of the culmination of that was in a year 1492, when they sent Columbus to find an eastern route to attack the Islamic Empire. The Caliphate. Most people don't know that history. If you want to know that history, read The Sword and the Scimitar. Best book written on it by Raymond Ibrahim. Best historical book. Now, I'm going to warn you, it is brutal. It uses primary source documents from both sides, so it's balanced in that respect, but it is a brutal book. All right. Then, in the 1600s, the Caliphate tried, from Turkey, tried to invade where? Austria. And there was something called the Siege of Vienna. And so what you are seeing right now is the attempted reestablishment of the Caliphate by Recep Erdogan. And he is sending a message to the entire Muslim world. We will attack in France where we lost. We will attack in Vienna, Austria, where we lost. This is very important because what this means is these Islamic jihadis that are fighting are now becoming operationalized not only throughout Europe, but also in the United States and in Canada. And the United Kingdom has now raised its threat level from substantial to severe. In other words, an attack is highly likely. Why? Because of Recep Erdogan's essential call for jihad in Europe and the United States. Now, we don't want to invite that as Christians. So, yes, that's what the enemy's intent is, but we come against that in Jesus' name. And we also need to be prepared for any physical manifestation of these jihadis anywhere in Europe or anywhere in the United States and Canada. All right. Also on the national front. Now, we've talked about this color revolution, but today, BitChute, which is a video, an alternative video platform to YouTube, was deplatformed on election day. You can believe this stuff. They do this. They don't care anymore. It was deplatformed on election day. Now, there have been many attempts of the media to shade the election, but probably the most egregious was put out by the New York Times today. Rich Higgins actually tweeted this, and then they deleted the tweet because they were getting such backlash over it. But the New York Times essentially said that they decide who wins an election. In other words, they are the ones that call who wins an election. No, the voters do. Thank you very much. But this is how the mainstream fake news media has been trying to take over and control people's lives. Don't watch the fake news. Don't pay for it. And in fact, I would ask everybody listening today, there was an article, I believe it was last week, where Sean Vestal of the Socialist Review admitted that his rabid socialism and Marxist bent was costing the newspaper subscribers. Here's what I would advocate. Dump your subscription to the Socialist Review. Tell your friends and family, dump their subscription to the Socialist Review. Drive this fake news garbage into bankruptcy. Don't watch KXLY, which has lied repeatedly about yours truly, among others. Just dump it. And this is what these people think. They control your life. When the New York Times says something like this, where they're the ones that determine the outcome of an election. No, you don't. The voters do, actually, in our republic. And, oh, by the way, we don't live in a democracy. We live in a republic. So this just gives you an indication of the information warfare that our fake news media is engaged in. Now, I want to talk about this, too, on the national front, because it goes beyond just the fake news media. This is coming to us from WorldNet Daily. A leaked Zoom call shows federal workers, so bureaucrats, conspiring to shut down the White House in case the election is contested. That's, first of all, that's treason. And you know what's interesting? They admit it. Quote, this is coming from the article, quote, "It's a coup. Don't let anyone tell you it's not," end quote, a woman states during the Zoom session. These people are just coming out and admitting it. when Trump wins, which he will, the prosecutions are going to begin. And I am so happy for the patriots around this country who have been preparing the way for these prosecutions to happen. And it is important to understand that there's no more Mr. Nice Guy about this stuff. The deep state must be destroyed. The deep state must be destroyed. It must be prosecuted. It must be disrupted. It must be broken up. And all the people responsible for the treason that is occurring in this country need to be held to account. And the evidence now is huge. And so a Trump victory means the prosecution of bureaucrats like this, not just firing. They need to be prosecuted for saying things like, quote, "It's a coup. Don't let anyone tell you it's not," end quote. All right. I also want to talk about a positive on the national front today. President Trump signed an executive order establishing the 1776 Commission. This is part of fighting back against this information warfare from the fake news media and our public education system, our government education system. And there's a couple ways that this can be broken up. First of all, there needs to be school choice across the board. Secondly, we need to teach real history. The Marxists have tried to destroy history, and they always try to destroy history. They did in China. They did in the former Soviet Union. They always have to try to destroy history. We will not let that happen. The patriot Christian history of America will now be taught, and not just in Christian schools. It needs to be taught everywhere. And this is one way to fight back against this extreme disinformation coming to us from the fake news and from the government indoctrination system. Also, I am hearing around the country that voter fraud is actually being thwarted around the country. Now, I'm going to talk. Now, polls are closing on the East Coast here in the next hour, right now and in the next hour. I want to talk to you about some of the information that I have just received from some of the sources I have, and then also a little bit of a warning here locally. What they want to do, this is the quick analysis. Donald Trump is going to win. They're going to try to use this as some kickoff for some fanciful Marxist revolution. Okay. You know, Antifa is real. Black Lives Matter is tied into these Marxists and all this. Okay. They're going to try to do that. And they're going to get thwarted doing this. All right. The warning is, and this coming to us from WorldNet Daily, bricks, piles of bricks now are being found in U.S. cities. They're kind of appearing now. It looks like they're being staged. Kansas City has reported that. And it's being reported in Chicago as well, in Denver, and also Lansing, Michigan, Santa Monica, California. So obviously these Marxists think that they're going to try to do this. And this is insurrection. This is going against the Constitution, and it needs to be put down, and the deep state again needs to be destroyed. And I want to talk to you about something. And in fact, we just had a listener actually send us a picture of blue tarp pallets of bricks. I'm trying to see if I can figure out where exactly this is. It looks like it does look like it appears to be staging. So who knows where this is going to occur? But again, we come against that in Jesus' name. We just need to be ready for it. Now, for the sources. Okay, first of all right. I want to talk about what is happening. It looks like Donald Trump is going to win New Hampshire. It looks like he has won Kentucky. He is winning Indiana. He is winning South Carolina. Now, in Florida, my sources report that Trump may be winning in Florida by as many as 200,000 votes. Now, earlier today, he was winning by 108,000, and that was 1 o'clock Florida time. And Fox News right now is, you know, trying to say that Biden is leading Florida, but the sources down there are pretty adamant. In addition to that, another source of mine that is a national level campaign consultant just wrote me and said this, that it looks like Trump's vote percentage is almost twice 2016. Twice 2016. And guess what that means? Twice 2016 as far as the black vote. That means that the Democrats physically, they cannot win. All right. The polls are going to be closing. We'll update this toward the end of the show as well. And I just want to, before we bring our guest on, just want to, you know, again, remind everybody out there listening to us today. We've prayed, we've fasted. If you've listened to this show, you've already voted. Now we have to do two more things. We have to expose this evil. And the people that are supporting the Marxist narrative, doesn't matter what party they are. So, for example, if a mayor supports a Marxist health officer, we need to expose that. Okay, for example. It doesn't matter. Party does not matter. It was weird today. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff said the U.S. military will not weigh in the election. That's not the question. The question is, will you uphold the Constitution and your oath? That's the question. Because your oath says to defend the Constitution, there are Marxist insurgents trying to take this country down. Will you uphold your oath? That is the question for every member of the military. And I know we have some listening, especially some former and current Special Forces guys listening to this show. That's the question. And you need to ask that to of every one of the people that you serve with. Will you uphold your oath to defend the Constitution of the United States of America? And we need to continue exposing this evil. Exposing these horrific things that have just been, kind of the surface has been scratched with Hunter Biden's laptop, okay? And then we also need to prepare. We need to prepare. We always should be ready as Americans to defend this country and defend liberty. Always. And that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been listening to the show. And make sure you go to Facebook.com/Patriot Radio US, like the page, share it with your friends and family. Remember, we are on Podbean, Spotify, iTunes, Amazon. We're all over the place. So please share it with your friends and family so they can get educated on what is actually happening in this country. All right. It is my pleasure to introduce once again Matt Monroe, our election analyst and consultant, who always seems to be pretty right. Not all the time, but pretty close most of the time. Matt Monroe, thanks for joining me on Patriot Radio today. How are you doing?
I'm always right. I'm a conservative.
Right? Well, yeah, all right. Go ahead.
I couldn't resist that.
I know. Conservative really means you support the Constitution anymore, which is kind of weird because everybody should if you live in this republic. It's just been a weird deal. Well, hey, I want to start off with some of the local races first, okay? The local races first, and then we'll kind of move to the net. We'll end with the presidential race because we're going to have some more election results as this is happening. Okay, so District 3 has been a hardcore Democrat stronghold for years, but look, if Trump can win New Hampshire, is it possible that Dave Lucas could win in the 3rd District in downtown Spokane for state representative, or I'm sorry, state senator?
Yeah, he would be such a great senator. But here's what I see in this election. This is a weird election, sir. There's so many factors that have caused it to be strange. But from my perspective, and right or wrong as it is, what I see is you're going to see a lot of straight party tickets. People aren't going to be looking to be candidate shopping for the best candidate. It's just like everything's polarized. And so you're going to see the Democrats voting for Democrats, Republicans voting for Republicans, and you're not going to see too much mixing at all. And it's unfortunate, but it's true. And maybe if Trump came here, he could have pulled that off and had some people convert. But that wasn't the case. And so what I see is the third district's going to go Democrat as it has all my life. And it's sad because he would be a great asset to the Senate. But I don't see that happening. Let me be wrong on that, but I don't think I am.
Well, that would hold true for Laura Carter and Bob Apple as well, then, according to that analysis. But we are seeing a massive voter turnout this year. I mean, this is huge. This may be
record breaking.
Yeah, we're approaching 80%, and we probably will go over it. What do you think? I mean, how does that is that going to impact? Because a lot of these folks that are coming out to vote are Christians who just don't vote normally, and they're coming out to vote, and normally they have a conservative bent. Is that really going to have an effect in downtown Spokane?
Well, again, we'll just have to see. But this has been such an odd year with the virus and all, and then people have been shut in. That's had a dynamic. I mean, there is a price to pay for this coronavirus. I mean, you might be thinking that we're beating it by staying at home and isolating, but there is a tremendous price to pay from the isolation. We are social beings, and it's taken its toll. It's also taking its toll in this election, and then all the hostility that you've seen, even a little touch of it in Spokane. I believe the national issues are reaching down into our little burg of Spokane, and things going nationally are affecting our local politics. So again, my gut is that we're going to see the polarization is going to be, if you'll forgive the term, the Trump card here, and you're going to see a lot of the races. It's just this could be like straight party tickets all the way.
All right. Well, let's move out to the fourth legislative district, which was the target of a group of Marxists conspiring with a group of rhinos out in Spokane Valley to try to unseat Mike Padden, Representative McCaslin, and then also trying to defeat Rob Chase. So how do you think this is going to end up out there in the fourth legislative district for those three positions?
Well, there's a retiring representative out there that had a pretty strong endorsement for Rob Chase, and I think that's going to hold. I think the Padden is, I think he'll hold on to his seat. I'll be surprised if he doesn't. He's had very effective commercials. I've heard him for over a month everywhere. And I think that people out in the valley realize that he's doing a good job and they need him. It's you got to admire the other side, the Marxists. They are making inroads all over the country and even conservative Spokane Valley, but they're not going to win the day, in my humble opinion.
All right. Well, let's move then to the sixth legislative district. You have two positions up, Mike Volz and Jenny Graham, both of the incumbents. There has been a lot of smear campaign against Jenny Graham from the fake news media. How do you think these two races are going to shape up?
Volz is an excellent, as you well know, legislator. He's not a lawyer, but he's an accountant, a CPA and an MBA, and he's what actually the legislature needs more of. Very conscious on the budget. In fact, I think he's the assistant treasury, deputy treasury for the county of Spokane, and he's just a wonderful candidate for the 6th District. I don't think his seat's in jeopardy. His opponent, which has a lot of spunk, but didn't really get out and campaign. He has some TV commercials. He's got a couple signs out, but I haven't seen him anywhere on the South Hill, even sign waving. Jenny Graham, again, has the power of the incumbency. I'm not quite sure what the tiff is that they're trying to raise, other than just typical little South Hill kerfuffles that you see in the elections. But and you know, I think part of it is that there's a certain congressman out in the 4th district usually had the monopoly on all these kerfuffles, but he's not running again this year, so they had to go somewhere.
They don't know what to do. They literally don't know what they were trying to write me into stuff, but they didn't know what to do.
I remember we'd talk before the ballots drop, and I'd say, "Has the shoe dropped yet?" He said, "What right. shoe?" Oh, we had conversations.
It was pretty funny. They didn't know what to do because you know they were so. It was like clockwork. Every year they would try to do something. It was crazy. You know, every election cycle, and they didn't know what to do. It was really funny. They had no clue. It was pretty good. I smiled. So let's go to the county commissioner races. Josh Kearns versus Ted Cummings, Mary Cooney versus David Green. How do you think that's going to shape up?
I think the incumbents will pull it out. This is a conservative or a Republican county, and it's really difficult to crack that nut. In fact, just to save time, the same thing with McMorris. McMorris, I don't think, is beatable. Wilson didn't put up much of a campaign, but that's usually typical with her opponents. I mean, she's got more money. She has more appeal. She's got name recognition. I don't want to say concern about her. It's just I just wish she would have been more supportive of the president, considering her high rank in the House. Because in my humble opinion, President Trump deserved and merited the support. And I just wish she would have included that in her ads, because I think that would help everyone downstream due to the polarization of the electorate this year. But they saw maybe wiser heads prevailed and didn't seem to think that was a good idea. So,
yeah, she, you know, Mary Cooney actually was vulnerable this year because of her comment about wanting to establish social credit scores like China, but for Spokane County for businesses. Now, a lot of Republicans are like, we expect that from the Marxists, but my goodness, are you kidding me? And I don't know if that's going to have any effect, but you know, these races, the county commission races, always seem to be kind of close, you know, within 5 to 6 points, 7 points. You know, again, do you think the turnout affects these county commissioner races?
The turnout is what it really should be every election, in my humble opinion. But I think it's you're just going to have more of the same. Spokane Valley is going to pull them over. You might have a hiccup on the South Hill, and then the District 1 of the city is probably going to vote for the Democrat, and District 3 of the city will vote half and half. But the Spokane Valley will pull the Republican through. It happens like every year or every election. And I think that's how it's going to go. I'll be surprised if it goes another way.
Yeah, it really does. Let's talk a little bit about judges. These are the races that people always are kind of like, what do I do? And I'm not going to talk about the ones that are running unopposed, obviously. But, you know, position 3, it's Dave Larson versus Lewis. And then you also have position 6, Cerns versus Whitener. You know, you have this incumbency of the judiciary that really is kind of disgusting in a lot of ways, because it seems like if there's an incumbent, they just can't lose. But how do you think this is going to shape out with the Supreme Court justices?
Incumbents will probably win it. And really, do we ever get to decide anything over here? It's usually the West Side that makes all these decisions. Just like for president, we never vote for president. It always gets trumped over on the other side of the state. But it doesn't kind of. It's sad but true. It's no matter how we vote, the other side is going to vote for the one that is most liberal, shall we say? that's the incumbents are going to be remain because they've been doing what they're told by the other side.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate because a lot of their law or decisions have been poor, in my opinion, but that's me.
Right, indeed. All right, so let's go to this Court of Appeals race, Marshall Casey versus Tracy Staub. Tracy Staub was endorsed by Marxist organizations, Fuse Washington. In fact, Fuse Washington actually did an independent expenditure for her campaign, endorsed by other far-left causes. Marshall Casey, longtime family in this area. This race was interesting because it was a lot more energized than a normal judicial race. Who do you think wins this one?
Oh, I think he'll carry Spokane County, but Staub will probably win it. But I did like Marshall's campaign. I thought his colors for his signs reminded me of these how-to books that you read in the bookstores, like Car Repair for Dummies, it'd say Marshall Casey. And I thought that was kind of fun. But I think he's a good man. He's got a chance, but I think Staub will win it because, again, the Democrats and it's a polarized year, and they're going to stick and go down the party line, and that's pretty much going to decide it. But, again, I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah. I think, based on what I know, Marshall Casey campaigned heavily in the outlying counties, and typically in these rates, because these appeals court races have other counties than Spokane, so if you can break even in Spokane and carry the other counties, you win the day, right? So
I agree.
That's kind of I'm actually going to say that, you know, because he's campaigned out there way more than Staub has, especially in these outlying counties, he may have a shot, a good shot at winning this. And so I'm really watching this race for personal reasons and other reasons too. But Marshall's campaign team was just fantastic, and so look forward to, you know, kind of seeing how this shakes out. It's one of these races that even those of us that have a lot of experience in it, it's really kind of hard to call. But he really was working out in these outlying counties. So I want to move next then to the ballot initiatives and referendums. I only want to go through a couple of these. The first is the much talked about referendum 90 on this horrific sex education. You know, when 40,000 people watch TVW, when on a normal night, maybe 100 watch across the state, you know, it's a big deal. It's a big issue. And what was a little bit crazy to me being on the floor of the House debating that issue was that the TVW folks put on there a warning of the content. And then they want to teach that to our kids, right? And you're like, what are you doing? All right. So anyway, how do you think this is going to shape up referendum 90?
I hope it fails. Again, that's how I voted, because I think it's a really, really a bad idea. Who was behind this, man?
It was Planned Parenthood and a bunch of others, but you get the idea. That's all I kind of have to say. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's it'll probably pass, but boy, I hope it doesn't. Because, again, it's a partisan year. But this one's probably has the this is a tough call, but it'll probably pass. And again, I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah. So, all right. I hope that the moms in downtown Seattle, the soccer moms, kind of realize what this whole thing is about. The other one is this constitutional amendment 8212. I'm not going to tell you how I voted on that. I want to see. I just would like to hear your take on it. How do you think that's going to shape up? It's kind of one of these other ones that seems like not a lot of people know what's going to happen.
It's always a toss up. Again, it's, you know, Spokane County, it's a lot easier to call because they make sense. They're a lot more logical. I don't think it'll pass here, but I think the West Side will pass it. What do you say?
Well, I actually like it, so I think it will pass. I think it had some bipartisan, had a lot of bipartisan support. So anyway, I'm of the volition. I think it probably is going to pass. I don't know. We'll see. I believe that there should be the free market in pretty much everything, and including our investments. We shouldn't be tied to municipal bonds where you have a lot of municipalities going bankrupt. I think that's folly. So anyway, that's just a couple thoughts on that one. Let's go next to the statewide offices. I'm going to start at the lower levels and we'll work up to governor. There are a lot of kind of weird races like the insurance commissioner. I'm going to skip over those. Superintendent of Public Instruction, though, again, this kind of ties into the whole sex ed curriculum. Chris Reichdahl, Maya Espinoza, what do you think?
I went with Chris. He'll probably win it. At least I hope so. that's really what happened in this race is that the national stuff has sucked all the oxygen out of the room, for state races and especially for local races. And, a lot of people are not paying attention to this. Even hard political files are not paying attention to this material. Even in a good year, very few people pay attention to superintendent of public instruction.
Yeah,
and generally it goes with whoever the teachers union wants to win.
I really hope that these things start changing, you know, and that it doesn't end up that way. I mean, my goodness. All right, Commissioner of Public Lands, Hillary Frantz or Sue Peterson, what is your call?
I'd like the Republican to win because it seems like when we have Democrat land commissioners, things seem to burn very consistently. Happens in California, happens in Oregon, happens in Washington State. But when you get somebody that actually does land management, these problems don't seem to happen. And frankly, yeah. I have breathing problems, and that really bothers me when I can't breathe because they haven't been doing proper land management on our forest. But that's going to have to be education of the public. Fortunately, the president brought it up and made it an issue and said this was bad management, land management. That's why we're having these fires, and you just have to applaud the man for doing that.
I think that that's part and parcel in this race where you could have national politics bleed over to this statewide race. I think people are tired of kind of this Marxist lock it all up and then let it burn mentality. And Sue Peterson is actually very qualified for the position. I think this race could be close. I really think it could be close, whereas normally races in the state are not. I think that this race could be close. In fact, I think this entire year has brought us to this point where a lot of these races are going to be close, and Sue could eke this one out. I really think she has a shot. Attorney General Bob Ferguson, Matt Larkin, Ferguson, who sued the city of Olympia for trying to clean up their homeless problem. I don't know. What do you think about this?
Among other things, he sued at taxpayers' expense. Really had not too much to do with the state of Washington. I'd love to see Bob return back to the private enterprise versus being a public servant. But because Jay decided to run for governor again, he couldn't run for governor, so he's going to hang out as attorney general. He'll probably win it, but boy, I wish he would lose it because we could do better than him as attorney general.
Well, let's talk about this, too. I mean, don't you think that – I mean, will the turnout have any effect? I mean, it's this race, the Commissioner of Public Lands, State Auditor, State Treasurer. Do you think it's going to have an effect on these statewide races, the turnout, which is in many places around the country leaning Republican?
I can see see your argument because in this state, generally, that's the People's Socialist Republic of Washington State. But again, you have some people that just don't normally vote that are getting out. And Trump has brought a lot of those out. And again, I wish he would have come here because I think we'd even have more. And those people have a tendency to vote Republican. And again, it's a straight ticket year this year, unlike any other year I've ever seen, and that could have had a bigger effect. But you might have an argument. There might be a somewhat of a chase. We'll know before the night's out if that happens.
Yeah, I think so. We will. And that brings us to the state auditor race, McCarthy versus Leyba, and also the state treasurer race, Pelliciotti versus Davidson. Dwayne has done a fantastic job as treasurer, just as a side note. I mean, really nonpartisan, he has done a fantastic job as treasurer. Do you think that he continues as treasurer of Washington State, and who do you think wins the state auditor race?
I hope so. And again, I think the state auditor race is a toss-up. I don't really have any inklings either way.
All right. Let's go next then. So probably the same with the Secretary of State, but, you know, they've put a lot of money into that. And then you have this interesting race with Lieutenant Governor with the write-in for Josh Freed. Do you think that the write-in prevails and the Democrats split the vote and the Republicans win that one?
Well, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but write-ins rarely ever win. And the irony of that is that I actually strategized a writing campaign that was successful, but it was at a county level, but not at the state level. It's hard to do that. It's hard to get the people to fill out the write-in stuff. And it's unfortunate that he isn't on the ballot and that we have two awful choices otherwise, but there's no way that the write-in's going to win. And if it does, I'll be glad to eat my words on that, but it's not going to happen.
Well, yeah, I know. It's just kind of this... Yeah, it's just kind of this weird thing. You know what I mean? It just, I agree with you. Every once in a while, there's a saying in politics, you can capture lightning in a bottle. And sometimes it can do this. Will the Democrats split? It's actually one of the races, you know, I think to watch tonight is this race for Lieutenant Governor. But let's go to the race everybody is talking about. Similar to Trump, there have been huge crowds turning out for Lauren Culp. Jay Inslee, obviously an incumbent, the Democrat machine in King County, but in a Cairo News poll, okay, so this is not a right-wing station by any stretch of the imagination. A Cairo News poll showed Culp winning by over a point. Jeez. Actually, 2 points. Does Culp pull this out in Washington State? What's your analysis on this?
Well, Jay doesn't even want the job, does he? I mean, he tried to get another job earlier this year. That didn't work out. Mildly embarrassed himself in front of the nation. And he's not really a good campaigner. The old scuttlebutt on him has always been that he played way too much football without his helmet. And it's unfortunate, and I think people are tired of him. Culp will probably have the best chance of any Republican in the last, 30 years? Mm-hmm. Has it been that long? To win it, but it's going to be a tough row to hoe because the Democrats are entrenched. I think the last time we got close was Dino Rossi, and they had to count three times in order for his opponent to win, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I actually remember that. We had votes from our military. You know, I was a commander overseas and of the headquarters company, and we actually had votes that didn't count in that election. We were called when we came back. It's just absolutely a disgrace. Do you think it's going to get drug out like that? Do you think they'll do that?
I guess the point that I'm making is that if it did, I think there'd be another count. And if that count didn't work, there'd be a third count. And that one would work. And that seems to be three is the lucky number. And then the Democrats will win it. I don't have much faith. Unless he wins by a significant margin, there's no way I believe that the Democrats are going to let that powerful office go astray.
Yeah.
But boy, it'd make my night if it did. I'll tell you.
I agree with you. I think this is the greatest shot. I think partly because of turnout. I think partly, too, because Culp has energized people. I do have a little reticence with some of the fear that has crept into his campaign, fear to work with real conservatives, because that, you know, if he wins, he's going to need everybody to help turn the boat, especially if you're going up against that entrenched bureaucracy in Olympia that the Democrats have had 3 decades to solidify. So I think it is the best shot, like you said. I really do. And he's shown a lot of energy, a lot of people showing up to his rallies. Not a lot of political candidates draw that kind of a crowd running for governor. So be interesting. Now let's shift next to the one everybody is talking about. Now I am going to give some immediate updated information. And this is from 2 separate sources, Fox News and the New York Post, as of right now. And I'm also going to give from my source down in Florida, because I think that's important to hear it. All right. It looks like Donald Trump has won West Virginia. He has won Kentucky. He is leading massively in Indiana, massively in North Carolina, massively in South Carolina, and he is also leading in Georgia. I have a contact down in Florida that said his sources were saying that President Trump had 108,000 more votes as of 1 o'clock today. The mainstream news sites are not showing that, though. They're showing Biden barely leading in Florida. Now, Trump won by 116,000 votes in 2016, so the idea that he was up that big by lunch, I think, is a pretty big indicator in Florida, and they are still sticking to those guns. Lastly, another source of mine at the national level has said that there has been a huge shift in the minority vote toward Donald Trump. In fact, his numbers may be double those in 2016. So that said, Biden has won Vermont, and it looks like he's now leading in New Hampshire. What do you think is going to happen, Matt Monroe? Who wins tonight, the president of the United States?
Biden also won Virginia.
I have seen that on Fox News, but if you click on it, it actually says Trump is up by 20 points in Virginia, and the New York Post shows Trump winning by a similar margin. So they, I think they have it wrong on Fox News. I think they have the wrong color there. So anyway, go ahead.
So you're reading the New York Post, so obviously you're not reading it on Twitter.
Clearly not.
Yeah, so I'm, to be honest, I'm very angry about that, so I have to make jokes.
Right.
Yeah. But my favorite part of the week has been watching Ted Cruz going after those guys. I mean, oh, my goodness, that was fun to watch. But I think my call on this, I watched a lot of the rallies that Trump had, and even Fox News said only had 2,500 people, and then about an hour later, there came a picture of the rally, and there was clearly 50,000 people there. It was amazing. This man, and he had another 20,000 trying to get in. And this has not been one rally. This is every rally all over the country when he campaigns, and he works very hard. He'll do 5 of those a day. He's just amazing. I've run a lot of candidates, and I've never seen anybody work like this guy. He is a dynamo, and he's happy to be there. It's like he loves it, and the crowd loves him. He's worked hard, and you might not like his personality. You might not like his style, but what we're looking for is results, and we are in better shape in the world. We are in better shape locally and nationally than we have ever been in my lifetime, and I'm old. I mean, we've never been independent, energy independent in my lifetime. That's awesome.
I know.
The Middle East, and you know, you were over there, the Middle East, I don't think has ever been this peaceful in my lifetime. And he's had been nominated, three or four times by different government officials in other countries for the Nobel Peace Prize, and he deserves it. And that's foreign policy, which I thought was amazing that we never had a debate question out of three, or actually maybe two and a half debates. We didn't have a single question about foreign policy for the first time ever.
And that's what's ridiculous. Trump has galvanized Eastern Europe against the former Soviet Union. He has galvanized a coalition in the Middle East, and there's going to be more coming out. Saudi Arabia, you're also going to see Egypt and some others coming out as a force aligning against Turkey. And you see Israel, the strongest it has ever been over there. And also you see other countries now going away from China, which is a good thing, going away from the Communist Party in China and gravitating toward the United States of America. You see India doing this. You see Japan doing this. You see South Korea doing this. You see even Vietnam starting to do this. This is a huge tectonic shift. And you're right, nary a word in the fake news media. It's incredible.
Yeah. And the other thing, not a word about this, and this has been a big deal for America, the Chinese have been stealing our patents. They've been stealing our tech. And then they just compete against us. It's horrible. And Trump said enough and stopped it. Unlike Bush, unlike Clinton, unlike Bush, unlike Obama. And the other thing is about moving the the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem. Everybody promised it, Bush, Clinton, Bush, and Obama. Trump did it. I mean, it's just amazing, this guy, the work this guy has got done. And yet, you might not like him, but the performance is excellent. And so that's how I'm looking at it. And then here's the other thing I always found was amazing. Trump, in 2016, before the election was over, he put out a list of, here's the guys and gals I'm going to put on the Supreme Court if given the opportunity as president. He had that before the election, unlike any other presidential candidate I can recall. I don't think it's ever been done before. He did the same thing this year before this election, and he made good on that. He got to put in three, which is kind of rare, but he did it, and he said what he does what he says. I don't see why. And then Biden wouldn't do it, and which I thought was just a travesty, but nobody seems to make a big deal about it in the media. But that's really what you want in a leader, saying, here's what I'm going to do. Given the opportunity, I will do it. The only thing that the Biden crew says, that we might pack the court or we might not, but the threat is that they're going to, because we don't happen to like this person who's highly qualified, female, and is so brilliant she didn't have to have any notes to go in her hearing. Right. She aced it, but we don't like her, so therefore we're going to add more seats, just like FDR tried to do back in the 30s, I believe it was, because we just don't like her. It was just ridiculous. And then the Senate's threatening to turn around and to add more states so they can get more senators and have a permanent Democrat majority. I mean, it's just crazy and insane. I don't understand why this is such an election of consequence, because it should be a landslide for the Republicans. But yet, nobody's reporting on it to mention, and here we are.
Yeah, here we are. You know, I think it's safe to say that there is an agenda that is being run through the Democrat Party to quite literally bring this country down and not have any more peaceful transfers of power. When you have bureaucrats caught on video on a leaked Zoom call saying that this is a coup and they're trying to take out the president, and you have other people similarly exposing those kind of things, I think for the sake of America, that makes any vote easy. We vote for America. We vote for the Constitution and the person that's going to best protect that in this election. And I think that that's where many Americans' hearts are going right now tonight.
I hope so, because if not, we're in a lot of trouble.
Well, Matt Monroe, as always, it's a pleasure having you on Patriot Radio. Blessings to you. And we're going to continue praying for victory tonight for our republic, and also a victory, too, that we can continue to be Christians in this great country without being persecuted. I really appreciate your coming on and your views and your perspective, and look forward to hearing more from you via text here later tonight and tomorrow morning.
Always a joy, my friend.
All right. Blessings. Matt Monroe, he's our local election analyst, and he also has consulted on these things over the years. I want to end the show with, again, some updates here. And there's this fascinating, weird thing going on with Virginia. It's weird. Okay? Okay, Donald Trump is ahead 58%, okay, in Virginia. But Fox News is showing it as if Biden's already won. So I don't know exactly what's going on there, but anyway, so what we do know for sure across the platforms right now is that Trump has won Kentucky, he has won West Virginia, he is leading massively in Indiana, North Carolina, South Carolina, he is leading, and Georgia, he is leading. Also, we have that report out of Florida that he may be up as many as 200,000 votes. Now, right now on the Fox News site, they're saying that it's a dead heat right there, and also on the New York Post site as well. All right, so tonight from Patriot headquarters, we are going to be doing some live broadcasts, and we are also going to be talking about the local races and some of the Marxist plots that have been happening here locally that appear to have been thwarted already. I do want to tell you that the information that I'm getting right now is that the minority vote has shifted massively toward Donald Trump. That is coming from a national level election consultant who has been very accurate in the past. So keep praying. If you haven't voted, go vote. Drop it in a ballot drop box. Do not mail it, even though some people have said the safest thing to do is drop it in the drop box. This is Matt Shea. Thank you once again for joining me on Patriot Radio today. And we just shout for joy for God's victory in Jesus' name.